Welcome back to the latest episode of Across the Bifrost. My name is Sung Soo, and joining me in a moment is my co-host from across the pond, Pat Dunford. And today, we're going to be talking about blurry photos from Adepticon. First, Pat, how you doing? Did you go to Adepticon?
Sadly, I didn't, TT. And you know what? I missed it. I love going to Adepticon last time around. It was a blast. And I would have loved to go again. But even though I wasn't able to attend in person, I was very happy to see the AMG Twitch stream covering the event, and I was thrilled to see these previews.
Yeah, I didn't go either, but that's okay. Yeah, it's okay. We're going to talk about the cards that we got, and then we're going to talk about the spoilers where we just got pictures of people, maybe pick our favorite from there, but a lot of cool stuff coming out there. And I thought first we could start... Do we have to do sleeve it or heave it? You always make us do a sleeve it or heave it, Pat.
I do like sleeve it or heave it. But you know what? We've got enough to talk about that maybe I'll let you off
this
week.
Can we just sleeve it or heave it with every one of these cards?
Yeah, we can do hot takes, sleeve it or heave it with all the tactics cards that got previewed.
All right. Shang-Chi, a four-threat character. He looks a lot like Bruce Lee in that picture. He's got a pretty cool... We're not going to do four reviews here. He's got a pretty cool builder. He doesn't really have a spender. I like him. He looks like a lot of fun.
Yeah, I think he's super cool. It's worth noting that they mentioned that his backside changes quite a lot. Like you said, though, not a full review, so who cares?
I don't care.
Yeah, me neither. I think he's really interesting because his attack is wacky, right? The 10,000 shape strike has a lot going on, and his character kind of revolves around it because it interacts so much with his superpowers. So already just having a six dice strike builder that can be physical or mystic and has a stagger trigger, well, that's already amazing, right, on a four threat character.
But he has a charge effect too.
Yeah, he's got a charge effect that works with it. And then he's got five elements fist, which lets him either then advance or do a push that stuns his target. So all of that stuff in conjunction is super cool, right? And it means that when he's got power... he's going to be able to do really interesting things with that attack action, right? Where he can potentially charge in, hit you, stagger you, and then do some other like action economy thing, move away or throw or push you or something. And it's seems really strong to me.
I am slightly concerned that he might just explode. He appears to be a four threat with 4-3-4, 5 stamina. Is that accurate? And
yeah.
Nothing that prevents him from taking damage. I know he has like dragon chases its tail.
Well, he's got Supreme Martial Artist, right? So within
that's
range
right,
three,
right. He
counts
super, he has
all defenses as blanks, right? Even Mystic. He's yep. The first martial artist who's so good at martial arts that he can, I don't know, dodge spells or whatever.
But if he gets attacked at range four.
Yes. Anything over range three is bad news for him, right? With five stamina.
Yeah.
He does not want Star-Lord shooting him. That would be a disaster.
Yeah, sure would. Even Rocket, so.
Yeah.
Yeah, I like Shang-Chi. I'm pretty excited about him. I think he might be the character I'm most excited about. But.
Yeah, I think his model is super cool. I really like the aesthetic, and the rules seem really interesting. I think he's going to be really fun to play, and you're going to feel smug when you get to do cool things with his 10,000 shape strike, I think.
Okay. So, defenders don't have the best tactics cards, Pat. So, sleeve it or heave it, street smarts. During the power phase, any number of allied defender characters may spend one power to play this card. This round, while a character that played this card is holding or contesting objective token, if it would be pushed, advanced, or thrown, it may suffer one damage. If it does, it is not pushed, advanced, or thrown. Pat, what do you think of Street Smarts?
So I immediately think of the A-Force card that does a similar thing, which I think is really good. What is that card? Stalwart Determination? I'm just going to double check. How much does... So Stalwart Determination is A-Force. One sec while my card loads.
Okay, turn your microphone to you too.
Okay, you hear me now?
Yes.
Okay, and that is, in the power phase, any number of A-Force characters spend a power to play the card. So exactly the same. And characters that spent the power can't be pushed or thrown by enemy effects this round. Whereas this Defender's version, they can't be pushed, thrown, or advanced. So that's better. However, they have to be holding or contesting an objective to get this, and they have to take a damage. So, on balance, seems worse than Stalwart Determination, but who cares? You can't take both anyway. And I think, just on its own merits, this card is probably good enough to see play, especially if you've got some of those really resilient defenders characters like Hulk, like Wolverine. I think this card is probably fine, even though it's a lot worse than the A-Force version.
I mean, this card just came out a little bit too late. If we had original Legacy Virus with this, this is one of the best ways to kill your own characters. You pop the card, you try to advance the character, you say no, and you take a point of damage instead, and then you do it exactly again. You take a second point of damage, you drop the Legacy Virus.
Right, so you basically just kill your... so you just, you can turn, so what you're saying is while you've got extracts, you can turn enemy push and throw effects into damage for you for your own benefit, the benefit being dropping your extracts.
It doesn't say enemy effect. If it would be pushed, advanced, or thrown, it may suffer one damage. If it does, it is not pushed, advanced, or thrown. I activate this, I then try to advance my own character, and I say no, I'm not advancing, I am street smart, Pat, I'm taking one point of damage.
That's pretty funny.
Yeah, and then I do it again, and I drop the Legacy Virus, and I pass the turn.
So your activation is just kill yourself.
Yeah. Definitely sleeve this bad boy.
I think you broke it. Yeah, this card is OP.
Yeah.
Sleeve it up.
Right. It's all right. Play this now until it gets banned, everybody. All right, what about Mystic Ward? There's a lot of text on Mystic Ward. I don't really want to read it. Pat, do you want to paraphrase Mystic Ward?
Okay, so this is a really weird card, but basically a defender's character pays 2 power to use it. And then for the duration of the round, a single objective token basically becomes unusable by your opponent, right? They can't interact with it. They can't pick it up, anything like that. So it's really useful for denying that point to your opponent, obviously. But of course, it would need to be a situation where you're not just getting it yourself, right?
Yeah. It's a weird card. It's hard to quantify. It could be amazing. Like if Defenders ends up running like a really top heavy team or something, like I don't know, Cosmic and Thanos or something, maybe it's nice to shut down one side where you're just not focusing yet.
Yes. I mean, you still have to be within range 3, so you have to be some distance near it, but you're not super close. And obviously you could like move into range and use it and then move away. So like at face value, this card is spend 2 power and your opponent scores 1 less victory point. Right? That's kind of what it's doing?
Sure.
Yeah, and is that good? Seems okay?
Seems fine.
Yeah, I mean, VPs are how you win the game, and denying 1 VP can be a big deal, right? It can certainly be game-winning, or stop you from losing, at least, and give you a whole... and one more round... for Daredevil and his gang to go to town on the enemy before they run away with all the VPs. Yeah, I like this card fine. I think it's like you're always going to find a use for it. I can see this one just slotting into Defenders where they don't have tactics cards and you just be like, yeah, I can always find a use for this. It's totally reasonable. I'll put it in my 5 whenever I don't have 5 great options given the crisis and my opponent.
Okay. All right. Fair enough. Next up, we have the Scarlet Spider.
Hold on,
Spider.
TT, you didn't tell me. Are you sleeving this? I'm sleeving it.
Doesn't really work with my kill myself plan, so probably heaving it. I think it's there's the old Magic the Gathering adage where a card has so much text it has to be good. Yeah, I do think the card will be...
definitely has a lot
of text. It's a good card.
Yeah.
Solid card? Yeah.
Yeah, not the best, but fine and playable in basically any situation.
2 power cost gives me a lot of pause. Like, I want to use this early. 2 power is just a lot. Like, maybe I use it at the beginning of round 2, but then my character probably doesn't do a whole lot else. I mean...
yeah, bear in mind, you don't have to use it in the power phase or anything. So you can just use it opportunistically, even near the end of a round, to deny a VP in some situations.
Yeah, I just... in my brain, I want to be able to plan when I'm turning stuff off with a card like this. I want it to be like an early, like a turn 1 or turn 0 play where I kind of know exactly when it's going to happen. You know, I haven't used it yet. I will be sleeping it.
Yeah, I think it's cool. I think it's extra cute maybe on Sword Base, where denying the interact can maybe get you a push. It's pretty cool. Yeah, I like it fine.
What about the Scarlet Spider?
I also like him fine. So Ben Reilly, he has a lot in common with original core set Peter Parker, right? As a four-threat spider person, he's got a lot of the things you expect to see on a web warrior, right? He's got Warcrawler, he's got spider sense, he's got throws, he's got pulls, he's got impact webbing and all this kind of stuff.
He can reroll defense dice.
Yeah, like, he's basically kind of a remix of a lot of the classic things in web warriors, right? A lot of the things that make those characters good. So he seems totally reasonable. The question always is, when you're in web warriors, you've got so many models that are all competing for those spots, right? You've got so many models that do similar things. And is he going to be a better choice than Spectacular Spider-Man, than Regular Spider-Man, than Spider-Woman, Spider-Girl, Spider-Lad, Spider-Dog? Like, which web warriors do you want to take? This seems like a good one, but is he going to be good enough? Eh.
I'm over the spider people. I don't want more spider people. I'm tired of spider people. I understand there's a lot of spider people because they're beating the crap out of that spider can, but just go somewhere else. There's a lot of characters. Please stop making spider people.
People love web warriors, TT. We're going to keep getting spider people. There's been a whole movie franchise about the fact there's an infinite number of different spider people. So
there's a lot of movie franchises that are real bad. That doesn't mean anything. There's just... No, I don't know.
All right. Look, the one thing that is completely unique about Ben Reilly is web whip.
Do you like zip-up hoodies or pull-over-the-top hoodies?
Oh, definitely zip-up hoodies. Every day of the week.
Are you currently wearing a pull... Oh, you're currently wearing a
zip-up. No, I'm wearing a zip-up hoodie right now.
Yeah, okay. I like the zip-up hoodie too, but it does impact what design you can put on the front of the hoodie.
Yeah, that's fair, but I also don't like big flashy designs on my hoodies, so no problem there.
Fair enough. Would you wear this hoodie right there? Do you cut the sleeves off your hoodies?
I mean, he's got a very...
Let people into the gun show?
He's got a very, what is it, like 90s hoodie design where he's got ripped sleeves on his hoodie. No, I would not do that. It's not my style.
All right.
Anyway, as I was saying, web whip is his one unique thing, right? And I think web whip is really cool. It's a fun little combo of like a web line that also places him. And that's a lot of action economy, right? Where with two power, you get to displace your opponent and move yourself. I really like that superpower. I think it's neat.
Yeah, he's fine for a spider.
Yeah, I'm sure he'll see play. He's good. Just pick whichever spiders you like. Play them in Web Warriors.
All right. Sleeve it or heave it. Venomized. Pat, what do you think? It's an attack.
Yeah. Venomized is really interesting because the cost is incredibly steep, but the potential theoretical upside is so high. It's so high because this lets you give anyone Venom so many snacks attack, right? Where the range 3, 7 dice, 3 cost spender, where you heal yourself for every point of damage you do.
Mm-hmm.
But it costs 3, I'm just remembering because I closed my browser.
It costs 3 power
to play the card and an action.
Yep.
And it reduces your energy defense by 2.
To a minimum of 1.
Sorry, is it active action, the card?
Yep, sure is.
Right. So because when we say, it's confusing, because when we say it's 3 power and an action to play this card, it's also 3 power and an action to use the attack, right?
The card doesn't let them make the attack. You're correct.
Right. And so your first attack is 2 actions and 6 power, right?
Ooh.
Am I understanding this correct? You play the card, active action, it costs you 3 power. It gives you the ability to make this attack for the rest of the game. The attack is an action, it costs 3 power.
Yes.
And you've got no incentive to play it before you want to attack with it, because the only other thing it does is give you downside. Now, the incentive, I guess, is you can get your action out of the way in round 1, when maybe you don't have a good second action in round 1.
All of my characters with 3 power on round 1, please stand up, yeah.
Yeah, well, the reason I say it is because I think this card combos really well with big bads. I think it combos really interestingly with models like Thanos and Hulk, right? And a lot of these big bads have a ton of power in round 1.
Yeah, but those are the characters where I also value action economy more than anything else, right? I like when your army's built around them, I want them to have meaningful activations as often as possible.
Right. So the upside here is keeping Reality Gem Thanos alive is very valuable, and giving him this attack with Reality Gem is pretty spicy, right? Having your Hulk have taken like 12 damage, and then he gets venomized, and he hits back with a 10 dice attack that heals him is pretty cool, right? that kind of combo, and of course you can do similar combos with other big bads, like Malekith can count skulls on it. So having these big models that improve the effect of the attack and have the huge health pool to heal seems to me to be one way to consider using the card. I mean, you're totally right, though, that them losing an action is a huge price to pay. On the flip side, this card is really interesting to talk about, by the way. On the flip side, like, if you've got a really cheap character, like you've got a Toad or you've got an original core set Black Widow, losing their action is not so bad. And you're getting an attack that is better than any attack a normal two threat would have access to. Is that interesting? Like, is it interesting to venomize Wong so that he has some bite from the back line?
No, it's not interesting.
Okay, so I shouldn't have said Wong. Maybe I could have sold you if I'd said Toad.
I was higher on Venomized until I realized what you just pointed out, that it didn't give you the attack when you spend the card. Like, when I was thinking in my head, it was basically 6 power, 1 action to make a Venomized attack. I was like, okay. And then I get the attack for the rest of the game. I was high in it. Now I'm not sure.
Yeah. And look, I think one of the things that's interesting about this is I've seen several people on Facebook creating posts straight away saying, oh, wow, Venomized is the most broken thing in the game. And I think they're wrong. But I think this card is really fascinating because of the high combo potential it has and the ability to get people excited. I think that's really cool. I think this card is probably not good enough to see play because of the huge power and action cost involved. But I'd like to be wrong. I'd like if this was a spicy option to give characters a really powerful attack in the right circumstance.
Yeah, I mean, I wanted to try it on Black Panther. Yeah, I don't know. There's lots of options. But I don't like now that it costs 2 actions. I am probably heaving it now after talking to you. Reading and understanding the card's rules. That's
ridiculous. Yeah, who wants to do that?
All right, speaking of Black Panther, what do we think of Batman? Chosen or best?
I think he's really good.
I think he's a great 3 threat.
Yeah, he's a stunning 3 threat, right? He's got powerful mystic attacks, which is good because, hey, Wakanda doesn't have any mystic attacks, right? And mystic attacks in general are rare. And these ones are hard-hitting mystic attacks for his threat value.
Yep, 5 threat range, 2 builder with Wild Bleed. Seven dice with finisher.
Yeah,
which could allow him to make a builder again. Yeah, which is really good. He has pounce. Seems solid.
Yeah, what I don't know from all the screenshots is what base size he's on, which obviously matters a lot with pounce.
It does, especially with the medium move too.
Yeah, but I mean, pounce is just a great ability. So even if he's on a small base, that's still really good. His defensive suite of stealth, can't reroll against him, is all right? It's basically the same as old Black Cat, and that was totally reasonable. Not incredible, but tough enough for a 3 threat. And then,
you want to know the worst thing about the character, Pat? What? It's absolutely the worst thing on the entire character.
Oh, okay. Is it his alter ego is T'Challa?
Yeah.
Yeah, that sucks, right?
Because we like every current iteration of T'Challa in the game. A lot.
Yeah. Yeah, we really do. I tell you what, especially because he's in a box with Namor and they've got, like, we'll talk about it in a sec, right? The Invaders card, like, holding back to World War II glory days. Wouldn't it have been cool if this Black Panther was, like, current Black Panther's dad or grandpa or something with his cool cape?
Yeah. It's not.
Yeah, that's a shame because I would be excited to use this guy in Wakandan teams.
Oh, yeah.
But I'm less excited to go without either other version of Black Panther to do it. But hey, at least they've got other leaders that you can make this work. I also assume he's in some other squads, right? I don't know where Black Panther is, but he's been in Avengers every time, for example. And I like that he has just like a good, efficient kit. And he's got this really interesting superpower where he can reroll Pater Flips. And as someone that really dislikes the randomness of Pater Flips, I mean, that's an appealing superpower to me.
You do have to pay before you roll, right? If I'm reading that correctly.
Do me a favor and read it.
When this character rolls dice while interacting with an objective token, it may use this superpower. This character may reroll any number of its dice, including skull results.
Yeah, it's not clear, honestly. There's no timing chart for that, right? If it was an attack, we have a timing chart for that. So I don't know.
It gets way better or worse depending on if I have to use it beforehand or afterwards.
Agreed. Yeah, I think we'll need a rules form for that. I would just assume you reroll afterwards, but that's just because I've been conditioned by reroll effects to see the result before you pay to reroll. So I would have just defaulted to that. Rolls dice.
All right, we also get an Invader's card for Shield. Can I read this?
Let me tell you, Tita. I'll give you the gist. Okay. This is a leadership card that you play on a character. It's one of those cards. It takes up a tactics card slot. You can play it on either Namor or World War II Captain America. So either one of them can be your World War II Shield leader. And it gives you a defensive reroll, just like Web Warriors. And if your models within range 2 of each other, they can reroll skulls. So it's a variation on Miles Morales' Great Responsibility, right? Which lets you reroll skulls if you're on objectives. This one, you get better if you're near friends.
Okay. Should be interesting.
Yeah, I mean, it's reasonable, right? I think it really hinges a lot on how good is Namor, and does he lead to spicy shield builds where you don't want to take other shield leaders? And Nick Fury is so defining of S.H.I.E.L.D., I find it hard to believe you wouldn't want to take him. Invincible Iron Man is great, but maybe you like this leadership enough that you just think it's worth a tactics card slot. That's a high price to pay in S.H.I.E.L.D., though. S.H.I.E.L.D., the team with a dozen incredible tactics cards to choose from.
All right. I don't know if I'm sleeving or heaving this. Tentatively sleeving? Tentatively?
I'm tentatively heaving this. Unless I have a weird squad build that really doesn't want a four-threat Nick Fury or Invincible Iron Man, in S.H.I.E.L.D. in particular, I'm very reluctant to give up a tactics card slot. This could be a S.H.I.E.L.D. mobile.
Optimistically sleeping it. We'll see. It could be a S.H.I.E.L.D.
This could be Eye in the Sky. This could be Battlefield Medicine, right? Some of the best tactics cards in the game. It could be Venomized. Yep.
All right. Are we ready to talk about Vulture, Shocker, Electro, and Sandman?
I am. So these guys we know are coming out soon. So I'm looking forward to seeing the full release for these over the coming weeks. And we'll probably get some articles, I'd expect, over the next month or two. But the little spoilers we've got are pretty tasty.
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot going on with Sandman. I honestly have absolutely no idea how good or bad he's going to be. Like, my brain just refuses to properly calculate it until I get him on the table.
There's a lot to talk about with Sandman, I agree. So a few things.
Two grunts.
So this is always the thing about grunt characters, right? Is grunts are deceptively powerful, and characters that have grunts have always, I think, turned out to be better in practice than they look on paper. You're giving me a side eye like I'm wrong about that, but I think every single one of them has turned out better than people initially thought.
Elektra?
Yeah, I mean, people thought she was a 1 out of 10, but she turned out to be a 2 out of 10.
Oh, you're right, Pat. I'm sorry. Apologies. Yeah.
And now she's been buffed. She's totally fine, right? She's like, I don't know, solid 5 or 6. So the fact you've got these two grunts, right? And they have a very strong attack. They have a attack that, if it damages, pushes the model with no size restriction.
Seems incredible.
Right. So you've got these two grunts. So that's, in theory, up to 4 attacks around before you activate, that can move people, that can chain, one after the other to move one model multiple times, can benefit from certain leaderships like X-Force or Shadowlands Daredevil, right, to get a bunch of rerolls on these attacks. Now, basically everything else on that grunt card is whatever, but the potential to have the sand constructs push people around is really interesting. And obviously, like, a good sand construct activation could feel really unfair for a grunt.
Mm-hmm.
Now, their big downside is that if they're not near Sandman, they die. They get KO'd if he's not within a certain range of them, right? And they also get KO'd if he gets dazed. And bringing them back costs him hit points. But he can... He interacts with them in lots of interesting ways. So this is a model that is super hard to evaluate, right? Because the grunts can be enormous liabilities to him, where they just die, maybe even without your opponent having to attack them, and then maybe Sandman can't afford to suffer the damage to bring them back. On the other hand, their upside is huge, and their interactions with him, letting Sandman place himself, letting him gain extra power, spicing up his spender to make it really high damage, right, can be really, really good. So I think the grunts have huge potential.
I think Sandman has incredible potential.
Yes. Like, I think then if you ignore the grunts and just look at Sandman, you can't really do that fairly because so much of his stuff cares about the grunts. He's not like Ultron or Red Skull 2, right? Where they're just a model that has a grunt. He interacts incredibly heavily with them, more so than any of the other grunt characters, I think. But his attack suite is really solid. His strike has a wild throw on it. He's got a beam that pushes people. That's pretty cool. I like a beam that pushes people. His spender does massive dice. And then, of course, his mobility is fixed by his grunt interaction. His power economy is helped with his grunt interactions. And he can heal himself a little bit with his grunt interaction. And he's got a healing factor. Yeah. Like, his biggest problem is that his defenses, if you ignore the grunts, his defenses aren't particularly special. Right? And there could be situations where he's taking damage to bring the grunts back, and he's just like quite easy to knock over.
I have the feeling that he'd be pretty punishing if you accidentally lost a construct early or something like that. I think that could be really punishing. He looks like a high skill cap character. I think his potential is very good though, but I'm reserving judgment.
Yeah, I really like his play pattern of send a grunt out. Maybe it costs you 2 damage to do it. Then you teleport to that grunt, you heal 1 of that damage, you get some great attacks, like the beam that pushes everyone, and then you heal again with healing factor. And you're back to full health, and you've done a big move and some great attacks. That seems really good to me. So I like this guy a lot, but he is weird and really hard to quantify.
Yeah. Oh, I'm really curious to see his flip side too.
Yeah, Vulture, I'm also really excited to play with him, I have to say. He, for me, is by far the most exciting of these previews, because he's so strange. And he's going to be really fun and interesting to play with.
And Vulture to me is one of the least exciting things to look at.
Yeah, I agree. He's just very ordinary, isn't he?
Yeah, he's got hit and run. He's basically got melee attacks. And he can move someone.
Yeah. Now, to be fair, the way that he moves someone is new and unique, right? It's a variation on something that's only been a friendly effect before, right? We've seen like airlift on Sam Wilson. Exactly. And this is like evil airlift.
Yeah.
Yeah, where you get to move an enemy. That's pretty cool. And then his spender is really strong at 8 dice with size 3 character throw attached to it. Yeah. That's real good. My big concern with... I think his kit is totally reasonable. My big concern with him is his 3-3-3 defensive stat line with 5 stamina and no way to protect himself with his range 2 and range 3 attacks.
Yeah, the medium mover surprised me as well. For whatever reason, I was expecting him to be a large mover, given we don't know his base size yet. But
oh, we do. We can see it very clearly in the picture. He's a medium base. Can we? Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah, oh, I think that... Yeah, yes. There's no way he could have a 3-threat move on a medium base, right? It would be outrageous.
No, that's fair. So
yeah.
Yeah, I think he's fine. Unexciting.
Yeah, I think if he can stay alive, I think his activations are going to be really good. The problem is going to be keeping him alive. Yeah. Because if he can just get stuck in there and use his kit, I think he's great. But how often is that going to happen? I don't know.
I don't know either. All right, Pat, then we got some models, and we're just going to kind of run through these here quickly. Talk about if you're excited to see them or not. So Silver Sable. Any thoughts about the Silver Sable?
I don't know who Silver Sable is, but I like that she has cool a cool base with like smoke and some like sparks of bullets flying off. Do you know anything about Silver Sable?
I thought she was just like mercenary Black Widow, but she always used a sniper rifle. I don't know.
Is she a defender? I guess with all the defender cards in this box, she's a defender. I think she's all right.
I thought she was actually a hero for hire in S.H.I.E.L.D., but I don't remember.
I mean, she looks like this kind of person. She's a human being with a gun, so she could definitely be in S.H.I.E.L.D. If you told me she was a S.H.I.E.L.D. agent, I'd believe you.
She meets the qualifications.
Normal human with a gun, check.
What about Namor?
Yeah, I mean, it's interesting, right? Silver Sable is one of those characters who's like, who? Like, unless you're a real entrenched fan, then I don't care about Silver Sable, right? But Namor is one of those classics, right? He's one of the original Marvel characters, and I think it's really cool to see him on the table. I like his model. I mean, it's Namor, right? He's a bit of a silly design, but I think the model does a good job of capturing it. I like his base a lot, like swooping up above the raves. I'm excited for Namor.
I have high hopes for Namor. Growing up near the ocean, I always really liked him in Aquaman. I know people make fun of them now, but I always thought he was a cool character.
Yeah. One of the things I want to mention about Namor is not that long ago, TT, we talked about how S.H.I.E.L.D. have really grown and blossomed into a fully fledged and well-rounded affiliation, right? When they first came out, it was Nick Fury's gunline, and that was really the only thing it did. Then they added Invincible Iron Man to give you a second leader option, and they added a bunch of Web Warrior people, Spectacular Spider-Man, Spider-Woman, Agent Venom, to give you more objective play. And of course, the new Black Widow in the new core set. And now we've got Namor. We've got another leadership. Namor is no doubt going to do some wacky things. He's probably going to be quite different again, I would expect, from those other things. So I just think it's nice to see S.H.I.E.L.D. really growing. And I don't know. I'm excited for that.
What about Groot? And I assume that's Adam Warlock.
Groot and Adam Warlock, a.k.a. It's neither of those. Is this the Warlock and Sunspot thing?
I don't know.
Is this the crazy-looking tree guy and the guy shooting fire from his hand?
Yes.
It's the New Mutants, Sunspot and Warlock.
Okay.
I don't know anything about them, except Sunspot was in Marvel Snap and was a very good card that had to get nerfed.
I don't know either of these characters.
No.
We're bad Marvel fans.
Yeah, we are, obviously. If they're not in the MCU, then we're oblivious. I like the designs. I think Warlock looks completely insane.
Did you say that was Sunspot?
Sunspot, yeah.
I don't know him. I can Google him real quick.
The artwork for Sunspot, just on the internet in general, looks really cool. He's got some sort of heat-based powers, right?
Oh.
He's a flamey guy. Does flamey things.
I did not realize that model was supposed to be Sunspot. Okay. I've read him. He's obviously unremarkable. What about Apocalypse?
Now, Apocalypse is exciting, right? Apocalypse is one of the classic X-Men villains. They said on the stream that he was going to be coming out about the same time as these New Mutants. And I don't know. I think Apocalypse is cool. I love big bad characters. I love Thanos. This guy looks like a mutant version of Thanos. So sign me up.
He looks like a space marine. He's got the mag feeds going into his gauntlets.
Yeah, he is a bit Marnius Kalgar, isn't he? You just want to add a couple of storm bolters to his fists and
exactly.
Go to town.
Exactly. Storm bolters at that. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it'll be interesting to see what they do with him. Crappy dark side. That's fine.
So one of the things they mentioned on the stream, TT, if this can whet your appetite, is that he had a unique mechanic, they said, about his horsemen, where you took normal characters and upgraded them with even more powers to be his horsemen.
Oh, like Venomize.
Like Venomize. Could it be as good as Venomize? We can only hope.
What about the Archangel?
I think this is really cool. I realized, looking at Archangel, there aren't very many winged models at MCP, right? Whereas, I was like, is this the only one? I suppose you have Malekith.
Malekith. Wasp.
Yeah, with her little plastic wings. Little see-through plastic.
There's got to be more, right?
There's not many.
Angela have wings?
Nope. She's got her ribbons.
Doesn't she have them on her boots or something?
That's Namor.
Oh, yeah, you're right. You're right. That is Namor. Yeah, maybe we don't. That's interesting.
Yeah, and both of these ones I think look really cool. They look pretty different from each other. Presumably, they've got the same alter ego, right? Because Archangel is Angel, right? Angel gets turned by Apocalypse into Archangel. I'm not the biggest X-Men fan, but even I know that one. But yeah, I think they're both cool models. They're more mutants. Throw them into the pile of mutants and see if they can fight it out with Kitty Pryde and Iceman and Beast and all the rest for slots in rosters.
Tome of Dracula characters. Could not be less excited.
Can you, okay, TT, looking at the models, can you name who they are?
Oh, God. Okay, hold on. Let me
pull the You're not allowed to Google it. I hear you typing.
I'm not Googling it.
So I'll describe the model, and you tell me who they might be. Now.
So,
okay, the first one is a guy with a cape and long hair and bats flying off him. He's got a big sword.
That's got to be Dracula, right?
Right. I assume so. He looks cool. He looks like a great vampire. The next one is a werewolf. A classic werewolf howling at the moon.
Let's go. Who was it? He's got Parkinson's now. I'm Googling because I can't remember his name.
Do you mean Michael J. Fox?
Yeah, that's got to be Michael J. Fox, right? Teen Wolf.
It's close. This guy has actually been in the MCU. He was in the black and white Halloween special they released last year. Did you catch that one?
Yeah, I missed that one.
Okay, he's Werewolf by Night.
Okay.
Yep, exactly.
What his new and creative concept. Only a werewolf at nighttime. Yeah, okay, cool.
Yep, he's a werewolf. Then we've got... next up, we've got a guy with chains in his hand. He's got skin-tight trousers. He's got a Frankenstein head. He's got some sort of like chainmail vest, and he's reaching out to grab it's you.
Grave something. I don't know his name. Do you know his name?
Is he just Frankenstein?
I thought it was Grave something. It could be. Okay. Do you not have the answers here? Have you no, not?
No. I haven't. He is just Frankenstein's monster. Okay, just Frankenstein. Just like the novel. He's just, I guess, just like Dracula, right? Like these are like protected, what's the word? The public domain from like the Victorian times novels. He is just that. He is just Mary Shelley's Frankenstein's monster.
Just like Mickey Mouse is now. Okay.
Yeah, maybe Mickey Mouse will make it into MCP. That'd be cool.
That would be terrifying.
Yep. The last one has got bandages all over his face. He's got some sort of staff. You don't have many staffs in MCP.
Right. So we got Werewolf, Dracula, and Frankenstein. This has just got to be Mummy, right? Do you remember the old Mummy animated TV show? Did you ever watch that?
Nope. Well, was it a Marvel thing, or was it just...
I think it was like called Mummies Alive or something. I don't think it was Marvel. Nah, I could not be less excited about any of these characters.
Okay, he is Encanto, the living mummy.
Yeah, I did like Encanto. That was a good Disney movie. Okay.
Yeah. And he is, of course, a mummy. So we've got a vampire, a werewolf, Frankenstein, and a mummy. It's a classic Halloween party.
Yeah. I'm excited about Nova and Yondu. I think they're really cool.
Yeah, I think they're cool too. Nova is a sweet character, and obviously Yondu's got a lot of love from the movies. What do you think about Yondu's design? Where he seems to be a bit of a halfway between the comics Yondu and the MCU Yondu.
Yeah, I was going to ask like Greg Webster, one of the more comic aficionados. That is not what I picture Yondu looking like in either world, like you said. But I maybe he looks like that in some comic I just never read. I didn't read that many Yondu comics, to be honest. And I'm excited with Nova, like maybe more Nova Corps coming out. I have no idea. So.
Yeah, I think Nova's super cool. And I think Yondu looks good. I think what would be interesting from a modeling point of view will be if they do his very famous arrow, right? With the red, because it's on the picture with the, the arrow he whistles around and it zaps people with the red streak behind it. That would be, could be a really cool feature of the model.
Yeah. All right. Could be.
So there's a couple more Halloween things coming out early next year. There's Man-Thing and Elsa Bloodstone. They were also in the Werewolf by Night MCU special, TT. If this is going to incentivize you to watch it, it's pretty good.
Yeah, I missed that.
What do you think about them?
I honestly don't know much about Man-Thing other than he looks like Swamp Thing, mixed with Cthulhu. And then Elsa Bloodstone was in some video game I liked. That's the extent of what I know about her.
Yeah, she was in Midnight Suns, I'm going to guess.
Sure.
Yep. Yeah, so this folk's pretty cool. I think the thing about Man-Thing is he looks like a baddie, but he's actually a goodie, or at least like gray area. And Elsa Bloodstone, they've said, is going to be a new leader for the Midnight Suns.
Yeah, so Elsa doesn't like her dad.
Does she not? Well, that's
what I remember.
Is he a vampire or something?
Nah, I don't remember. She's just like...
All right. So more Midnight Suns is cool and suitable for fighting the monsters, right?
Yeah. I think they really missed if... Oh, no. Okay, so they could. Right, but the Halloween stuff has to come out before Halloween. Oh, and Mephisto. I'm excited about Mephisto. That's fine. I like Mephisto.
Yeah. What's up with Mephisto? Mephisto's the devil, right?
Yeah.
So I thought this model was really interesting because, I mean, it's not something I've seen from Marvel before, this kind of devil figure. Do you know like what comic runs he's in or anything like that?
Like who he opposes traditionally?
Yeah. Is he like, who would it be? Is he like a daredevil villain or something?
I mean, wasn't he Johnny Blaze for a little while?
Oh, of course. Is he part of Ghost Rider's Rogues Gallery?
Oh, that would make sense.
Ghost Rider spends a lot of time in hell, right?
Foil initially. I thought he was Silver Surfer, and then Thor is what I remember him from. But
okay,
we can look it up.
Cool. I mean, I think the model is cool, and I'm interested to know what he will do in the game.
Silver Surfer, Thor, Doctor Doom, Ghost Rider, oh, Harry Osborn. He runs into everybody.
He's okay, cool. Well, there you go. He's definitely a wild card, right? If you ask me, what does this guy do in the game? Could be anything. and he's obviously another spooky character. One more shot, TT, that we haven't mentioned is they had the glamour full color shot of the new Asgardians, Thor, Loki, Lady Thor, and Sif. Sorry, Mighty Thor and Sif. And they said that the new Thor will be sixth threat. So pretty powerful.
Cool. Yeah. We'll see.
Yeah.
That's a long ways away.
Well, a few months. It's coming out later this year.
The Asgardians are this year?
Yeah. The Asgardians are coming out. So in terms of order, they even kindly gave us...
I remember they had a timeline for us. Yeah.
So we know that coming out in May, we have the new foes. That's Vulture, Shocker, Electro, and Sandman. And we also have Grenom and Scarlet Spider. So that's six characters in May. Two boxes, but one's a double box. And then in July, we've got Shang-Chi, Silver Sable, New Black Panther, and Namor. And then in quarter three of the year, we have all of the Asgardians, Angel, Archangel, Sunspot Warlock, Apocalypse, some Terrain. Oh, and a pack we didn't mention, Weapon X and Maverick. So that's Logan as Weapon X, the crazy guy who's like naked with tubes coming out of him, a weird helmet on, immediately after he's the victim of the Weapon X experiment. So it's a lot to look forward to. And then in quarter four, they mentioned the spooky monsters will come up around about Halloween. And so will Mephisto. Mm-hmm. And then we have Nova, Yondu, Elsa, and Man-Thing in 2025. So actually, pretty good release cadence for MCP. More models coming out than last year, I think.
For sure. And that is good to see, because I know some people were a little... It was weird, right? We got used to this like turbo release schedule, right?
Yes.
And then it dropped precipitously, and now it's ramping back up. That is a lot of characters.
Yeah, and actually, I'm fine with this release schedule. If they do, this is like
a couple six boxes.
Characters every 2 months on average. That's plenty.
Yeah, I agree. I think it was a little breakneck at one point. Yeah. So, what's your favorite thing out of this whole thing, Pat? What are you most excited about?
So in terms of rules, I am... Actually, the thing is, in this case, I think I'm really excited for models that have the same rules. Like, I think the best models have the best rules, which is, number one, I'm excited for Sandman. Oh, wow, that Sandman model with his grunts is super cool. It's going to be really fun to paint with. And the gameplay looks really interesting, right? You can't easily tell how powerful he is. He's going to have cool interactions. He's going to do fun stuff on the table. So I say he's my number one. And then my number two is going to be Shang-Chi, where his rules also seem really good and interesting, and his model is great. How about
I think
you?
Both those are really fair. I think I'm just going to toss Yondu in there as well. I'm really excited about Yondu.
You're just a Yondu stan? You just want all Yondu all the time?
Yeah. As an orphan, I just wish he could be my dad.
Is he going to tempt you to play Guardians of the Galaxy?
I don't know about that, but we'll
you
see.
You wouldn't sink that low?
I don't think so.
You can cram him in some other teams. Put him in some Spider Foes, Avengers. Put him in your Defenders Damaging Themselves game plan.
There we go. Now I'm getting real excited. So,
yeah.
All right. We hope you guys had a good Adepticon. As always, you can talk to us on Discord. Let us know all the things we got wrong or we missed. You can find that at acrossthebifrost.com/Discord. We do want to thank each and every one of you for listening. Special shout out to the patrons for helping us keep the lights on. Patreon.com/acrossthebifrost. And until next time, everyone, cheers and happy gaming.